Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. I hope you got comfortable britches, because that's what you need to hang out for this team. That's what I'm assuming, Mike. This is why people don't hang out and watch the entire show, is because they're not wearing comfortable enough pants.
That would make a difference.
I always like to be. I was just talking to Guessman about this before the show started. Like, my number one concern is that some heavy stuff will go down and my pants will not be up to the task.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like let's say you're driving down the road or whatever, and you see a car flip out and go into the ditch, whatever. Like, you gonna roll down there in sweatpants? I mean, you can't do any manly work in sweatpants. You gotta have jeans.
I think you'd figure out a way.
No.
Well, yeah, but it would definitely be easier with jeans on.
Yeah.
It's the same thing's true. That's why I only wear one pair of. I have one pair of good pants, because every time that I've worn good pants, my car breaks down, and I mean, what am I gonna do? Call somebody else? I gotta get down underneath there and figure out what happened. And so then I ruined my good pants. So it's just easier for me to wear jeans all the time. And then in case something heavy goes down, I'm like, yeah, I'm in. No problem.
That's a valid point. I've never thought about that.
Wait, Mike. So wait, have you ever done anything where, like, you weren't well panted?
Oh, yeah.
Give me an example.
I'd probably say most of it has to do with cars breaking down.
Yeah. Most of them being my car.
Actually, I've had a pair of sweatpants on before, and someone knocked at the door, and I decided that I wasn't ready for action.
Yeah.
That if some, like, let's say someone was here to, you know, if I don't know what kind of criminal knocks politely, but anyway, what was going through my mind was, what if this man's here to start something, and like, none of my stuff is tucked away, and my there's a lot of breeze in my bridges, and like, what if I needed to break some heavy off on him?
That's my biggest fear of taking a shower, or someone breaks in when you're taking a shower. Is like, you're pretty much like,
No, that's the right time for it to happen.
No.
Because if you are willing to attack that person with no regard for yourself in the buff.
I have a lot of regard for myself.
No criminal runs into that fight. No criminal goes, hey man, that dude is straight up in the buff, and he is ready to fight me with every bit of his being, letting everything go.
Yeah.
That is the criminal that runs away from that crazy naked man willing to fight him. Yeah, that is when you want a criminal to come to
your house. I would say that, like, when you run in, like, unless you're dealing with a complete psychopath.
Right. Then they're just like, oh yeah, it's on.
He's going to do it anyway, right? But like your standard opportunist criminal, like, you have a split second to react. And when they say, hey, put up your arms, I'm going to rob you. And you're like, wah! And go at him like crazy fierce and like show him your belly button lint and all this stuff. That guy will run away, because he can't. It's just the same as locking your door. It's the same deterrent. He's like, you know what? This ain't easy anymore. That guy's got belly button lint out.
Go ahead.
I talked to someone last week who told me that the day before they had to break up a fight, they were in the bathtub. They had to jump out of the bathtub to break up the fight, and they were naked, and they said nobody needed to see that. And I'm thinking, you didn't need to tell me that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that person's physical, like, moving people had nothing to do with that fight breaking up.
No.
It was the fact that that person was in the buff.
I mean, they were just like, it does.
I'm not fighting anymore. There's a nude guy right there.
You do have a point in what you
that
were saying,
exactly,
I guess.
That's exactly what stops a
I've
fight.
I've changed my opinion.
You run up in the buff. They go, why are we still fighting with this naked man
That's
near
right.
us? We need to go.
So why wear clothes at all? You're safer.
Yeah.
Because then people will start expecting that.
Oh.
The safety
of
nudity.
It has to be the spur of the moment.
Oh, I'm terrible at balance.
You have to fight in the buff. Take your shirt off in a fight. People won't fight you anymore.
The guy that breaks and sees you coming out in the buff and goes, oh, that's the deal, huh? And then joins in.
You were going to bite it anyway.
That's how this is going down.
Yeah.
The tables have turned.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a psychopath that they were just like, it does not matter. That person prepared for that fight and said, even if they're naked,
I've got the jello.
I'm fighting this person. Like, I've got weapons and all. That's that person. But the person that doesn't have the forethought to do that is not prepared for an in-the-buff fight.
Yeah, so at least you know who you're dealing with, right? At that point, you know that you have some kind of guy who can't be talked out of it.
You
can't
test
be rationalized.
Psyche.
Yeah.
You test their psyche that way. You're in the buff fighting, it has to be a crazy person or they're out.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I agree. You're listening live from the path. We just hear
not anymore.
Hey, this is good stuff to live by, Dan.
That's true.
If you are who I think you are, live from the path listener, you are now in the news.
Prepared to protect
Prepared
your family.
To protect your home. You don't need any firearms.
Are you a man or you are not a man?
Somebody walks in, pants come down, they walk back out.
That's true. I'm going to start selling signs for people's yards that say NM Securities, Naked Man Securities. If you come in here, I'm going to buff wild at you.
The logo is Mike, and then half of him is like pixelated and yeah. stuff like that.
There's like a black box in the center bits. Here's the deal. I know you thought you were going to come in here and score a sweet TV. Go ahead and take that TV, but here's the deal.
Here's the show you get to watch on the TV.
I'm going to buff wild at you.
Now, go buff wild. That's your...
If you're prepared to accept the consequences for breaking into my home, you're welcome at any time.
That's right. Put him to a choice, Mike. That's good. Even then, you give him options.
Tell me how bad you want that television. Because here's the deal. If you'd
show
come
me your actions.
If you'd have come up politely and said, look, I'm in the straits. I was considering robbing you and taking your television. Odds are I'd have just given you the TV just for the hassle of you not breaking my door. Yeah. I hate that people That's would true. Break my door down or break the glass and I got to wait and call a guy. Blah, blah. Just take the TV. I'll replace the TV. It's not a big deal. But if you think you're going to come bowling in here and physically take the television, well, you have another thing coming. You and my naked rear end are going to meet, and it's going to be a nasty interchange.
You're going to lead with your butt?
Yeah, that's true. That definitely tests a man's resolve.
That's right.
Not only is Mike in the buff, he is starting butt first.
Yeah.
He is waddling backwards at them, taunting them, going, Are you really ready to do this?
I feel
this?
Like I would beep
Are
as well.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Like I would turn around, I would go beep, beep, and then I'd caboose him.
Please don't ever turn the word caboose into a verb
again. I'm going to give you my address. Anybody willing to take me up on this thing, you come on over.
Test Mike Foose on this.
The only downside is if the dog starts to lick me or something, not knowing what's going on.
Then you've lost all credibility as a tough guy.
As soon
guy.
As the dog licks your thigh or something, you're like, oh, come on. I've lost all manliness
here. I'm trying
here.
To caboose a man.
I'm doing some caboosing here.
And NM Securities is going down.
Yeah, that's the one weakness is pets.
Yep. Yeah. We're good here. Thanks for listening to Life from the Path.
We anyway.
Every Monday night.
Hey, man, we're setting expectations for people listening to the show.
Here's the deal, Booba. If your Pope's advice is not about this, then I'm going
to
be disappointed. I mean, the Pope needs to react to circumstances that surround him.
Hey, man, if you've been caboosed by the Pope,
that's the ultimate crime deterrent. That
it's
man
time
dropped,
to adios.
That man dropped holy robes
that's
to
right.
caboose you.
Hey, that'd be awesome. Hey, watch this. I heard this on Life from the Path.
In recent news in the Vatican.
You know, I'd save somebody. That's it. I'm not big on the saints, but I tell you what. I mean, the religious deeming of saints. But, I mean, if the Pope dropped it and caboosed a guy, I'd say, you know what, put him on a wall. Why not?
The patron saint of caboosing.
Forego the other two miracles. He's in.
You know what? I'm sure there's three miracles combined in that.
Well, there goes the Catholic audience.
You'd have these statues of all these other saints, and then just the statue of a rear end. It's like, come on.
Everybody else gets a bust. He's the other direction.
They say, how much did we pay for this? I felt we could have made the secular world produce the same thing.
All right. So here's what we got going on the show tonight. So Booba's got some Pope style advice. Preview on the Pope style, Booba.
Be honoring to God with your money. That's all you'll get.
I feel like Jesus never brought this up. I'm amazed on what you're going to say.
Also, let's see. The roles of Jesus Christ and Judas have been cast in Tyler Perry's The Passion Live.
Hey, did you see? Hold on. Did you see that they're coming out with another movie? It's called Risen. Have you heard about this? It seems like, I know that you can't really reinvent the story of the life of Jesus, right? It kind of is what it is. The screenplay's already been written. But, like, I feel like there's been a rash of biblical movies out lately. And a lot of them, of course, are kind of centering around the story of Christ. But I don't know how you're going to compete with the Passion. You know what I'm saying? Like, they kind of set the bar. And I know what they were going for and what the aim of that movie was. But, like, I don't know that you're going to make a whole lot of headway in this area. You know? Like, it's the greatest story ever told a million times over poorly crafted movies.
What's the... So, So you said it's called Risen. What's the? What are they trying to play? Is that after it happens? Like, what happens after Jesus is?
Well, it'd be really awkward to do it before.
Right. Well, I'm saying, like, does the movie start out with him resurrecting and then see what happens from there? Is it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because, I mean, really, he did most of his preaching, living, dying, whatever, prior to the resurrection.
Right.
So, I mean, we're talking like a 3-minute movie, an oddly ascending scene, and then people stand around going, oh, man, I'm not sure what to do now.
Just wait. He's coming back.
A bunch of people, dead people walking around.
Yeah. You feel like we should go hide in a room? Yeah, I think we should. Yeah,
we should hang out in a room for a bit. Oh, was that Jesus?
Actually, I haven't seen the press. Does anybody know anything about this movie? I just saw an advertisement for it.
I hear the title is kind of a spoiler, but other than that, it's pretty.
What goes on here?
What happens to the Jesus guy?
I don't know. Continue on.
I haven't heard, Mike.
So Tyler Perry's doing a live action of the Passion?
Yeah, I can't. This seems outrageous to me. The actors who will portray Jesus Christ and Judas in the upcoming live production of Fox's The Passion on Palm Sunday. It's a live production on Fox. I don't know, man.
Does the source matter to you?
You going to watch that?
Why does it hit me? It's only purely for viewership that they're doing it. Should that matter to me?
Hey, man, everything on TV is purely for viewership.
Yeah, I know, but doesn't that, if you know that going into it, does it make you question some of the validity to it? Because here's the deal. Like, there's parts of the biblical story that, through the filter of the Holy Spirit, I mean, they energize, change lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, your whole outlook is different than it was before you met it. But, like, when you know that you got to captivate an audience within an hour and 20 minutes, and you also have to sell advertisements to go ahead and pull this thing off, don't you feel like there has to be some integrity loss to do it?
Why? Because you think the story's not entertaining on its own?
Well, see, I thought you were going to say that, but I mean...
I'm more concerned with the worldview of the producers putting it together. You know, what's their agenda? Are they telling the story, or are they trying to cause doubt in the story? I just don't know. I mean,
the script was written by the guy who does High School Musical.
Oh, well, then it's good.
And we'll take audiences on a journey 2,000 years ago to the last hours when Jesus Christ walked the earth.
Wow. I wonder how many viewers they would gain/lose if they actually nailed somebody to live.
Wow, that's terrifying.
Why, Andrew? Well,
personally, I would be, like, it's morbid curiosity, I suppose, but I would watch that, I suppose.
I mean, listen, I know we're trying to reach out to a big segment of the population, but, I mean, you're talking like 3 guys in the country that want to see this with you. It's oddly.
It's a very small amount of people that are just like, hey, man.
I hope they live nail a guy.
That'd be pretty sweet, like, if they actually did it.
I'd be way more attuned to the caboosing. If they wanted to pull one of those offline.
Way
offline.
More attuned to the caboose. By the way, I got. If you guys want to talk about it, I have the plot line for this Risen movie. I think it's different than what you're expecting.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So it says Roman military tribune. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Clavius, Joseph Fiennes, the actor, remains set in his ways after serving 25 years in the army. He arrives at a crossroad when he's tasked to investigate the mystery of what happened to Yeshua following the crucifixion. Accompanied by trusted aide Lucius, his quest for answers makes him question his own beliefs and spirituality. As his journey takes him to places never dreamed of, the non-believer now wonders if there truly is life after death. So it doesn't sound like
he's
really
investigating
a story
about the resurrection.
Jesus. It's a
reproduction
I think it's just of a Roman robe. Military man investigating Jesus.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I don't know that. I should rescind everything I've said. This doesn't sound like too bad of a premise.
That may be interesting.
So no one's getting nailed to anything.
Sorry, Andrew.
Yeah, not definitely not, Andrew. It sounds like that's already happened. And so that'll be just kind of context from before the beginning of the movie.
Right on.
Well, then, I suppose. I'll still watch it, though.
It's showing here.
And it's live, huh?
At 7 p.m.
No, Dan, you're getting two things messed up here.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Never mind. One is live, one is not.
It's a live film. Wait.
Weird. All right, anyway. Yeah. Daughtry. Daughtry is the Judas.
What? Chris Who? Daughtry?
Yeah.
Wait, is there singing involved here?
There's no way there's not singing involved.
No, yeah, it's got to be.
High School Musical.
There's got to be singing.
Get your head in the game.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't want to turn that into a biblical perspective.
Let's see. Hold on. Here's Adam Anders, the music producer who has worked on Glee and Rock of Ages,
man.
revealed that audiences, hold on a minute. The audience was witness the story of Jesus being told like never before. Now, here's the thing. I don't want it to be told like never before.
You're not inventing new ways to talk about Jesus.
Let's see. The Passion is one of the most exciting and compelling projects that I've ever been involved with, said Anders in a statement to the Christian Post. I cannot wait to bring the greatest story ever told that I'm going to tell differently to life through music in a way that has never been heard before. To be able to create new arrangements of some of the biggest songs of all time and to create a live film score is a creative dream for me.
Is this just a modern or a remake of Jesus Christ Superstar somehow?
Yes, I wonder.
I don't think so. I feel like they would have said that. And you probably want to use the branding of Jesus Christ Superstar because, I mean, that's fairly popular. Aside from Cannell and Daughtry, Trisha Yearwood, the singer and host of Food Network's Trisha's Southern Kitchen, joined the cast last month as Mary, the mother of Jesus.
With a southern accent.
The film mogul Tyler Perry will narrate and host the two-hour musical that will take place in Perry's hometown in New Orleans and bring a modern-day account of the story of Jesus to life.
You know what would be awkward is if Mary actually sang, Mary, did you know, in the first person. You know what I'm saying?
Did I know? Yeah.
Did I know?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Sure did.
The angel told me
all about it.
If you'd read the story, the angel told me.
But we need two more verses.
Now, here's the thing. I watched a little bit of the miniseries, The Bible, you know? And I thought, what are they going to do here? You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen the old school 60s versions of the greatest story ever told and the Easter story and whatever. I'm like, the King of Kings, these are classics for me. And I really enjoyed them. And anybody who tries to do something after that, you're going to fail it. But like when they had the angel come down when the tomb was rolled away, and like it was a completely bright light and like a soldier standing above the thing. Like, I don't know how that's went down. But like for some reason, that imagery was done in such a way that put that whole scene in a different perspective for me. And I actually thought it was done very, very well. Like, I got the kids all jazzed up about it and stuff. Like, I don't know, just the image of the angel dressed in soldier garb and this huge, encompassing white light that just couldn't be ignored. These are things that my imagination doesn't generally produce on its own.
Right.
And, like, so that's actually it wasn't a bad thing. Like, I don't know if I'd call it holy, but, like, it was something that brings up a dimension of God that, like, there's just certain parts of God that I am not capable of understanding. And the way that God interacts with other, other people in his kingdom, and he reveals a bit of his character in that way, like, it's helpful for me sometimes to get a bit of a different perspective there.
All right. So wait, who's watching The Passion live? Anybody?
No, I don't think so.
Andrew's still waiting to hear about his question.
What?
Andrew, they said in the description that there's potentially a 20-foot cross, but nothing about the nails.
All right, well, I'll probably be working that night anyway, so.
Andrew can't tell. He's not going to be there.
Yeah, boy, I feel like you trailed me along, like you really had an investment here one way or the other, but you were going to work it regardless.
Maybe if somebody got nailed for reals, but nah.
Wow.
All right.
I know, it's more.
Andrew says, I can read the full account in the Bible. If you're not going to produce something of equivalent stature, I refuse to take it in.
If there's not some kind of actual crucifixion, you have not captivated my audience.
This is what's happened with television.
Jesus storybook Bible, thumbs down.
Hey, is anybody actually going to get hurt? No? Really?
Yeah, I won't be lied to.
I'll go watch Rock of Love, the real reality TV.
I think these are actors, actually. Doesn't normal life happen with a full orchestral score?
Wait a minute, Tyler Perry, that's not really Jesus. I don't even want to watch the show anymore.
No one even actually has to get hurt. If they can convince me with real screams or something, then...
I mean, that's just a sign of a decent actor, isn't it? I mean, isn't it their job to convince you that something's actually happening? That's why that's what they get paid for.
Wait a minute. Did you guys hear about that guy that accidentally died? He was at a stage production in, I want to say it's Italy or somewhere, and they were there was a prop he was supposed to be hung, and the thing didn't work out, and he was actually kind of choked. And ended up dying later on?
What?
I didn't know he died. I read that story earlier this week.
Yeah, so he eventually died like a couple days later.
I believe that's the Phantom of the Opera you're speaking
that
of?
That is not. Damn, it was a legit man.
From a chandelier.
Oh. It was some sort of like off, you know, it wasn't their prime, I want to say off-Broadway, but it's not Broadway, right? But like, but the guy, he was supposed to be hung as part of the thing, and there was a doctor in the audience, and he recognizes that this guy is, like, flailing around in a way that he's not that good of an actor. And so they got him down, and I think he lived a couple days, but, man, like, think of how awful that would be. Like, you took steps to make sure this thing didn't happen, and then something like that goes on.
Yeah. Like, that'd be awful from the perspective of the person who set that prop up.
Yeah.
Like, they were ultimately, their mistake could have killed somebody. But like, not to make fun of the situation, but that's kind of bad for, you know, the actor too, that the doctor could say, hey, he's not that good of an actor. There's no way he's actually.
He was doing something where like
that.
Yeah, where like he knew for he could tell that it wasn't real.
Some non-voluntary movements probably. Man. I'm thinking you can't speak very loud if you have the, you know, you're that tight and have a noose around your neck. You're probably you know, airwaves cut off. You can't talk. You can't.
Well, that's too bad.
How do you communicate?
Well, that's tricky. All right.
Fair enough.
Anyway, all right. Well, what you got for Pope style?
All right. So, I want to talk to you guys about. Tithing a little bit.
Okay.
Yes.
Before that, though, if you're new to the show and don't understand what this is, the Pope style, the concept is there's some mean people in the local brew houses that are trying to get at me. And they have gone around and told people that I am the Pope so that people will show up on my lawn knowing that I'm not the Pope and knowing that I probably can't deliver any kind of good message that will get these people away. So my job now is to give some kind of Pope-style wisdom from my apartment and get these people off my lawn. So it has to be relevant to my life, but also relevant to theirs, so that they can grow and leave my house in more knowledge.
Right
so
on.
That's my job as the Pope-style here. There was a large period of time from the time when I first started taking steps to be, you know, saved by Christ and working towards having that relationship before I started being able to trust God with money and start tithing. And I was actually telling this story to someone today, and that made me want to talk about it from Pope style perspective, is because I've been doing pretty good for a while and making sure that I'm doing that. And that's not on me. That's just on God working through my heart, which is awesome. But I had a mishap recently.
Was it that haircut?
It was this haircut. Like, I thought to myself, man, am I honoring God with my money that I'm paying to the barber?
What's $95?
Thank you for reminding me that. Because after my Pope style, Ben, I have a report on a recent recent Dear Life on the Path we did.
Nice.
On barbers. So
okay.
I report. But,
oh, good.
So I had a mishap where I got my paycheck, and I started looking at my paycheck, and I started thinking to myself, I just took a trip to Pennsylvania within the last couple of days, and I was having to pay for that whole thing out of my pocket. And I didn't think I had enough money to do it and tithe. And so for a couple of minutes, I started praying on, you know, God, I don't think I can tithe this time. Like, I have to go to Pennsylvania for multiple reasons. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can tithe. I think I have to keep my money, and I'm sorry. I don't know what that's going to do for us, but I kind of don't care. And that was a couple minutes worth.
No, sure.
And
that's honest.
Yeah. And a couple minutes in, like, I started getting this kind of like pit in my stomach feeling, like, that's sick. You know, what am I talking about? Like, this is me blatantly telling God I do not trust him with my money. And also, I may not be being obedient about this, because if I don't have enough money to go after my tithe, there's a good chance I'm not supposed to go. And that's not my call. And so I had this weird feeling that God was telling me I need to start trusting him even more than I had before. So I pull up my phone, I pull up the online giving thing, and I'm one of those guys that I try and give the online giving every time from my phone. I can set up the biweekly thing, but I like doing it myself. Mm-hmm. And so I did it, and I started praying on that. I'm like, God, I did that with a joyous heart, but I want you to keep my heart joyous on that. And I want you to keep me trusting you in that situation. And a couple days later, it's getting closer to the time when I'm supposed to be going to Pennsylvania. I was renting a car. It was going to cost me about 250 bones to rent this car, and that's just the start of it. I was going to have to pay for gas and stuff on top of that. So I was looking at it, thinking to myself, man, I could really use that money that I just tithed. And I started praying on that again. I'm like, all right, God, that's me again, thinking to myself that my ways are the ones that's going to save me in this situation. My ways are going to get me there rather than yours. And about two nights before I was supposed to go, I got an email about the car rental. And I see in the terms and conditions something about using a debit card. So I click on it, pull it up, and it says I can't use it. I have to be 25 to use a debit card, or I have to be under 25 and use a credit card, which I don't have. Right. And so I started thinking to myself, okay, I apparently can't go to Pennsylvania. Like, I can't get there. I can't go. So I called the people that I was going to see, and I let them know that I wasn't going to be able to come. And I actually kind of texted some of you guys and asked, you know, if there's any way that you can help me out with this, or if you have any ideas, please let me know. And I put it out on Facebook for the church, asking them to help me out also. If anybody could let me borrow a vehicle, I would pay them $250, which is what I was going to pay for the rental.
Yep.
One of the families from the church showed up with their vehicle and said that I could take it for free and that I didn't have to pay them a dime. And so right after I get done with my tithe, a couple days later, God shows up with me not being able to pay the $250 that I was supposed to pay for a rental and then giving me a van for free to get there. So not only did I not have to spend as much money as I thought, I saved hundreds of dollars on this deal. And that all happened through just a random happenstance of me noticing this thing and me not working through someone trying to get a credit card.
Right.
And then God giving somebody the ability to give me that van and going. And it kind of made me sit back and laugh at that because, you know, God tells you to test him on it. Like, that's the only thing that I know of, and correct me if I'm wrong, that God tells us to test him on this money thing, is that trusting him with that and giving him our first fruits, that he will bless us like crazy. And it's just made me think back to how many times, I call it Jesus math, has happened to where when I started giving more with the same paycheck that I was getting beforehand, I had more, which doesn't make sense to me. Like, I have more bills than I had 2 years ago. I get paid the same amount, and now I have more money to go around. Like, God has completely blessed me to be able to do stuff like this, to have money in savings, and to be able to, you know, when I can, give money to people and help people out and just keep blessing people through the blessings that God's given me. And it made me laugh, and it made me think back to how much that Jesus math has showed up in my initial fear of obedience, and then God softening my heart to that and making it so that that was something that I was given with a glad heart. And this was just something that I had that lapse. I had that mishap where I was like, I'm going to disobey God in this. I'm going to walk away from him. And he softened my heart again. And then he showed up again just to show me, not only is it going to work out, it's going to work out even more in your favor than you originally expected. And I'm going to bless you in a different way than you even thought was possible. And you're going to end up having even more money than you thought possible. And it was just such an awesome reminder of God's heart on money and what he shows us through, you know, what Jesus says about money, and constantly what he talks about is, you know, making sure that you can't serve God and money. You have to serve one. And there's an obvious good choice, right? Like, there's a choice that we want to make as worldly people, that we want to love that money. But at the same point in time, God is the owner of all of it, right? Like, why wouldn't we serve the master of the other? Why wouldn't we serve God who owns the other thing we could serve? That just doesn't make sense when we put it out and lay it out as who could really be our master. And I guess my Pope style is, to people on different sides of it, if you're on that side where you haven't made that commitment to start giving of your tithe to God because you're having difficulty obeying that and you're having difficulty with understanding that, you know, start praying in that very intentionally and asking God to show up. But you have to show up too. You can't just ask God to give you money to give him. You have to show up with that money first, which is what he expects, and then he will bless you through it. It's such an amazing thing, and you don't even know what's in store. And then the other side of that, if you've been giving that and you still have those places where you do find yourself, you know, questioning whether or not you can continue, persist. Seriously, keep moving on that. God will continue to bless you through that in ways that you didn't even know about. And it's such an awesome thing that we serve this God who owns money, and just keep being obedient with him and keep being honoring with your money to him. He expects certain things from you, but he also will give you things through those expectations and give you blessings that you can't even imagine.
Similar experiences, boys?
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually had some similar experience, not only with my family, but like people around me that needed money. And, you know, we would pray on it, and then the money would just show up. From like, man, I can't remember what the one situation was. I think we were tied on cash or something. And some friends of ours were in the midst of doing something pretty big, and they were short, like $600. And I'm like, man, I don't have no $600. This stinks, you know. I can't think of any way to help them. And so we were praying on it. We're like, you know, if you can help us find $600, that'd be sweet. We'll just give them the $600. And then like out of nowhere, like a day later, we get a check in the mail from like a doctor's office. We had overpaid by $600 2 years ago from when one of our kids was born. And so I opened this letter. I'm like, who are these guys? We haven't any dealings with these people. You know, what do they want to? They're after more money. Like, they figure out they didn't charge us enough. And so I never get the mail. I happen to get the mail this day, and I look at the thing. I'm like, you stupid doctor. You know, I'm mad. I open the thing up, and it's a check for, like, it was like $630. And the here's the sad part. I look at the thing. I'm like, hey, man, I got $30. Like, it was a given that the $600 was not going to me. But I immediately saw, hey, man, that's $30 to me.
Thanks for the 30 bones, guy.
Sweet. But, like, it was so funny because, like, it's when you sit there, it's exactly like Boo was talking about. Like, you see these things happen, and you're like, yeah, this shouldn't be possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the things that I say that I believe about God and all the things that I know about God, and then he does these things, and, like, you sit there for, like, a minute, and you're like, why didn't I know this was going to happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew this is completely in his wheelhouse to do. He does cool things like this, and every once in a while, sometimes I think he just waits for the right time so he can, like, cartoon style hit you in the head with a pan and be like, I told you I can do stuff like this. And like, it's sometimes we break it down to an anecdote, and it's so much more than that, right? Like, it's so much more of a character reveal and, like, a relationship with you, and especially on the tithing realm. Like, I swear I have these conversations all the time. People are like, I don't know how much to give. I don't know how much I should tithe. I'm like, hey, don't worship money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, what's the amount? I'm like, I don't know. Well, however, whatever the amount is to keep you from worshiping money. I don't know. Yeah. Talk to God about that business, right. You know? Let's say you give all your money away anyway. Yeah, I don't know that I'm real worried about a percentage or a dollar amount for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you say, God, here I think these people need some of my money. I feel like I can do it here. You stop me when I'm going crazy. You know what I'm saying? If I'm giving out too much money, either you're going to have to supply more or help me stop it. But, like, if you start from that perspective, I haven't seen it fail yet. You know what I'm saying? I've known too many people that follow Jesus Christ and everything that entails. And that counts the money as well. And so when they say, look, we follow Jesus, I don't have to ask them about their finances. They're just like, it goes where it goes.
Yeah.
And the Lord redeems my bad choices, and he helps me to make better ones. And, like, as long as you're willing to go at it from that perspective, you will get to know God better, which was the end result. The end result is not for you to be poor and unhappy and disheveled. The point is for you to follow Christ. And when you follow Christ, those things just automatically don't happen.
Yep.
And you don't worship money, because Boov is right. Why would you worship the second tier master?
Well,
right?
I mean, you could be poor and disheveled.
Well, no, that's a possibility. Yeah, I don't want to sell you like a shine song, but, like, I feel like disheveled is probably not there.
you
could be poor.
You could be poor, but you'll
that's true.
You're looking for you look.
Here's the thing: if you're like, following the king around, do you really care how much money you have?
That's the point.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
like going out to eat with your rich grandma. You know she covered the bill. It's cool. You don't even have to fake like you're right. Gonna get your wallet out and cover it this time.
Yeah, you know you've done that before. That is it me? Am I getting the? Oh, cool. She's got
me. Meemaw's gonna get it. Oh, thanks, Meemaw.
Oh, thanks again.
Yeah. It'd be awkward to ride here in your Cadillac and then have me pay for the McDonald's.
Yeah, you and I both know Meemaw's been buying dinner for 20
Actually,
years.
I had something similar happen to me tonight. I had to go to a company dinner tonight, and I mean, they always pay for that stuff. But I was walking to the restaurant, and I realized I didn't bring my wallet, and I thought, sure enough, my pretense, this is going to be the one time where they don't cover it.
It's Dutch Street.
There's going to be 20 people, executives included, and I'm going to be like, hey, man, someone spot me a few bucks. Because, you know, the place
I'll have the water with lemon.
It's pricey as well, you know? And, like, I wouldn't know that they're not going to cover it until after I'd already eaten. But I didn't want to go cheap on it because, I mean, they were paying. You're supposed to eat right. And so I had to walk back and get my wallet on the off chance that someone might not spring for it, because I thought that would be really embarrassing.
Yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah.
Did they spring for it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even a topic of conversation.
I got some real sage advice from a man, we'll call him Dave Herrick, one time, because I kept saying, like, I've been put in this situation before, and Dave Herrick wastes absolutely no time and goes, looks like you're paying for everybody. That's my solution. Every time I go out to eat, instead of waiting for the awkward moment to see if my boss is going to cover the check, I whoop out my card ahead of time and say, it's on me, boys. And then he also suggested that my backer is Jesus Christ, and I was going to say so. I thought, well, I don't know if that's going to play in the real world like you're saying. But like, I'm some kind of pool hall junkie. Who's your backer, man?
Jesus is good for it. Charge it three times.
He's the king of money.
But nonetheless, I'm eating with the king. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
I guess that's the broad point, is that following in faith, I mean, being responsible with your money, being generous, being faithful to God with those things, like, poor isn't a distinction. Right? Like, your measurement is not how much money do you have left over. Like, because that's the thing, is when we say somebody's rich, what we mean is he has X dollars above his need.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we don't define rich as that
guy. Well, that's a perspective that'll shock you to the face.
Yeah. we don't, like, really, if our measure is enough, what do you have? Enough. God supplies enough. And anything above that is excess. And then we look at a guy and say, why are you wasting your money? That's really how we should look at it. But what we do is we look at a guy that has this level of need and then 10 times more than that. And we go, he's a wealthy man. When really we should look and say, that's a wasteful man. He has he has what he needs. And then 10 times that sitting somewhere, not doing anything.
I like how Troy called this Jesus math as if it's something completely different. I've seen what Mike's talking about, how God will just make money come out of nowhere. But I've also seen him, how he can stretch money. It's as though money doesn't have this objective reality that we think of it. We would think of five loaves, and there's no way in the world that five loaves could feed 5,000 people. And then Jesus says, hey, watch how I can make five loaves suddenly feed as though it was, you know, 1,500 loaves. And all of a sudden now 5,000 people are all fed and they're all happy. And so he makes these numbers just kind of stretch to somehow be more, as though five can have a greater magnitude than five as we think of it. Or he changes the reality of numbers because he's the Lord of all order, and numbers ultimately get their value from order. So he's not just the king of money, he's the king of numbers, he's the king of algebra. And he could stretch these numbers. And so, you know, you're living on maybe $800 a month and you're paying $1,200 a month, and yet God makes it all work out because he can make that $800 stretch to become something more than $800. And it doesn't make much sense when you sit down and try doing all the operations out, and you're like, wait, math shouldn't work like this, except that math gets its value from God. And so if God says this is how the math is going to work, then guess what? This is how the math is going to work.
Hey, man, doesn't that change what you have to ask somebody then? When somebody's like, hey, I'm down to my last 20 bucks, and you're like, but is it a God 20?
Are you trusting God with that 20, or are you trying to trust me?
Because then you springing for popcorn and chicken.
Here, watch what God can do with this 20.
I only have $20. Is that enough? Maybe that's the question.
Yeah.
Right to your soul. And then God says, hey, do you want to see my abacus room? I don't have one.
You know how math bends to my will? Yeah, that's 40.
I was actually thinking that this week as I was looking around. I don't know why that concept of enough was kind of floating in my head, but I was looking around and thinking, like, what is my measure of enough? Like, what would have to be where I could look around and say, I have enough? And the right answer was right now, plus some. Right? That's the right answer. But I thought, like, I need to be reminded of that perspective when I think, hey, I'd like to have that. And if someone were to, like, if I honestly had to answer the question, yeah, but is what you have right now enough? I'd be like, yeah, it is enough. Okay, well, then whatever it is, that thing that I was thinking about, I don't really need. And there are people who are earnestly praying God for help because they do not have enough and because I'm holding on to theirs, right? Like, that what is my more than enough could be used to make someone else's enough. And that's what they're praying for. And I need to be faithful in that. There's God created enough. Just some other guy's enough is at my place. Sitting there is something I get out once every 3 weeks and play with or look at or, you know, show somebody when they come over. It's a bummer. It's the trappings of society we live in.
So this is completely off topic, but it's happening. So I've recently been having some struggles. So this may be secondary Pope style. Maybe another boo of a double barrel.
Mm-hmm.
But recently been having some troubles with trying to identify God's voice and figure out what that sounds like. And because I hear so many people around me have stories about God's voice, just this super powerful, you know, I hear God through license plates, or I hear God through, you know, he speaks directly to me and I hear him. And like, I envy that and I want that. But within the last couple weeks, God's been showing me that him and I don't have that conversation. Like, I keep trying to put God into someone else's awesome God box, but that may not be my God box.
I could be Moses God. You could just speak with me.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. It's like, well, God, you talked in a burning bush once. I'm just going to start walking to where brush fires are and see if I can hear you yelling, right? Like, no.
Speak to me, Lord. Yeah.
I'm going to be that one weird guy not prepared for this fire at all, but like, are you here?
Is it necessary for me to be naked for this deal?
Should I be in the buff, shoes off, on? I don't know. Is this holy ground? I can't tell.
The Lord speaks in crackles. I can't
just
discern
it. I'm looking at light. I was looking at license plates. I'm just like, well, is there a message in that one? Like, is that person going to leave that? God, are you going to speak to me this way? Like, I can't try to put him in a box.
That license plate is an obscenity.
God, are you talking to me
that
this?
That can't be right.
There's no way. What's da bomb? How are you speaking to me through this? But, like, it's been really weird because God keeps kind of showing up and explaining to me, like, dude, we don't talk that way. Like, we do not have conversations through burning bushes. I've never showed up as a donkey.
Wait a minute. You're saying he's telling you that he doesn't speak to you?
In that way, yeah. So
I
like,
don't speak to you directly, Troy. So except for right now, but that's it.
I'm a pompous jerk, and I never stop talking. Okay, like we all know that, right?
You're here.
Here, everybody for it.
Actually, the Lord told me that. When I,
I'm just waiting for you to pause long enough to agree with you.
Okay.
All right, we agree.
Awesome. So, but like one of the ways God's totally showed up is I'll start saying stuff and having a conversation with someone, and through my just long-winded blowhardedness, God kind of starts working in the back of my mind while I'm coming out the front of my face, and then he's like, shut up, wait, one second, yep. Right there, what you just said. And it's just like, oh, God used me to even talk to myself. That was crazy. So, like, that conversation right there just made something click in my head that I've been praying on, and I've been asking for him to say something and just be like, God, why are you not answering me through this? Like, why are you not just showing up Angel of the Lord style and just saying, Boova, here is your answer? And I keep praying. Like, I honestly contemplated buying a fleece recently, just, like, throwing it outside, be like, snow. No, okay, fine.
No. I got this at the Hobby Lobby. He's a Jesus man.
Yeah, this isn't real. I don't think I'm. Yeah, phrase maybe. I don't know. And so that was. I'm sorry. That was just really cool to kind of hear you guys chatting about that. And that started from me saying something. God's like, hey, shut up, Troy. You're gonna learn something now. So just a real quick giddy joy moment for me.
Sorry, a cheap aside. But would it be wrong to manufacture and sell fleeces under the brand name? You never know.
You never.
Is that the wrong thought?
I would buy that fleece. I'd buy that.
It's like the
like
Christian
self-moisturizer.
It's like the Christian Magic 8-Ball.
It's got a little water line that you plug into it, and like you turn it on the side, and then it gets wet, and someone goes, it's all wet.
Hey, it's like the Christian single who buys Testa mints.
Hey, Terry, are you going to put that fleece out? You never know.
You never know. You left it in the living room. Why is this wet?
Why is this wet?
There's a dog sitting ashamed in the corner. Here's the deal. It was new.
The dog got the corner wet. It was chewing on it. Does that count, God?
It's torn in half. What does that mean? Hey, so I had a creepy deal that happened to me last night. So I stayed up way too late watching 24 reruns. And
it happens.
And for some reason, so it's like 2 in the morning, right? And I'm heading to bed. I'm like, you know, I've poorly handled my time, right? This was a mistake. I'm starting to go to bed. I'm like, I feel like I could have, the Lord could have justified and made righteous the time that I've used tonight to watch TV. I'm feeling convicted just by myself, walking from the living room to my bedroom. And I walk into the kitchen, and I see I was reading James in the kitchen earlier that day, and the cat had torn up my Bible. I mean, had scratched out, like, the concordance in the back. And I thought,
sorry,
what the heck is this? I thought, why? What has happened? So now I'm freaked out, like there's something heavy going on, you know? And the page in the dictionary part of the that the cat had torn out was like, the heading at the top was terrified. I'm like, have I fallen into the hands of the living Lord? I don't know what's going on here. I'm freaking myself out. And I turned the page a little bit. There's another page, and like the next page says, I can't remember. It was another very heavy, like, punishment word. I'm like, I don't like this at all. It's 2:30 in the morning.
Turn and burn, Mike Foost.
I've been watching 24 for like 5 hours, and the cat's torn up the back part of my Bible. I'm like, I'm going to bed right now. I need to talk to the Lord Jesus for a bit, and then I'm going to go to sleep and see if things look different in the morning. So anyway, yeah, everything turned out fine. Like, I talked to the Lord for a while. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. I feel like I'm creating some of these things. I know you don't hate me like this.
Yeah, right, exactly. You try and put weight to something, it's like, God, that was definitely... No, that was just...
But here's the deal. But I did say, look, I said, if you're trying to scare the pants off me, done.
Well done, God.
So if that needs to sit on me for a while, let it sit so when I wake up in the morning that I have not created this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it needs to sit on me that there's something afoul in my life, you tell me right now or tell me in the morning. Let it sink in so I need to know the deal. But if it's just a creepy cat tearing up my Bible, I'm going to kill that cat.
Here's what you don't know, Mike, because you were too enthralled in your television. There was a man driving by with a go-to-bed license plate up and down your road for the last 3 hours.
The Lord tried to speak to you in license plates, man.
Hawking the horn, and I can't hear it. I'm like, the terrorists are taking over England, Lord. And there's a crazy man outside my window honking. I mean, I'm ready to caboose him if he comes in. But other than that, I can watch one more before I don't show up to work tomorrow.
Stupid Netflix. All right. So get off my lawn.
That's it.
Both styles, get off my lawn.
That's it.
Okay. So a couple weeks ago, we had a Dear Life from the Path that had to do with how do you break up with your hairdresser?
Yeah.
I got an earful about this one.
Yeah? Okay. So I talked to a group of barbers. So I went and got my haircut last week, and I awkwardly brought up, hey, guys, I have a weird question for all of you. What do you guys do if a customer like leaves you and like goes to a different barber? Every single person in that room looked at me and said, they go to a different barber. I said, so you're not like hurt if someone comes in and like says, hey man, like just let you know, like Jerry's been cutting my hair for a couple weeks and I kind of like him now and I'm going to go there. Like, is anyone giving you a thanks for your service card or anything like that? They looked at me like I was an idiot and was just like, dude, we work here. Like, no, you go to a different barber. That's what you do. And I'm like, well, what if I'm deciding that I want to go to somebody else? They said again, Troy, you go to a different barber. There's no reason to break up with us. Like, we're not dating. We're cutting your hair.
Is this a dude's haircut joint?
Yeah, they're all barbers.
Yeah, see, I got a way different perspective from the ladies. I talked to, we'll call it the most important lady in my life, not to name her any names. But she said, yeah, this is a way bigger deal than you guys are making it out to be.
Really?
For ladies, it's a bigger deal.
All right.
Because, I mean, I minimized it down to, look, Pansy, I'm going somewhere else. Yeah. That's it. That's the end of the deal. Frankly, a haircut for me is an afterthought. I only do it when someone says, hey, it's getting a bit outrageous.
Yeah.
You need to do something.
Hey, John the Baptist, maybe get that taken care of.
Hey, listen. but my wife said, yeah, it's a big deal.
Okay.
And so, like, when my wife changed hairdressers, she actually did it for a very specific reason, and she told her old hairdresser why. Like, it was a relationship thing. It's like, hey, listen, I need to spend more time with this gal, and here's how I'm going to do it. And she said, yeah, okay, I understand completely. But, like, if she would have just stopped showing up, it would have been a deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Barbers are apparently completely different. So I don't know if I'm using the right verbiage there, hairdressers versus barbers. But, like, the dudes were all like, no, if someone has a problem with someone either leaving or going to a different person, they are way too full of themselves and need to shut up. Like, the kind of dude that's going to go, oh, I can't believe he's leaving me and going to somebody else. That guy was way too self-important in the first place. We're barbers. Like, yeah, we take good pride in your hair. Like, we do our best. But at the same point in time, if you go to someone else, we don't take it as a personal affront.
That's because guys tend to be a little more task-oriented and women tend to be a little more relationship-oriented.
Very much so.
You're messing with a relationship.
I don't know. I've got my barber on, like, Instagram and Snapchat.
Well, yeah, but still.
We're cool with each other. He's a cool dude.
Okay, but ultimately, guys have about 5 different kinds of hairstyles that they can have in terms of their barber giving them, whereas girls, they've got about 1,500 different variations.
That could take up to an hour to do. The relationship is built.
Yeah, it's all relational.
I don't know, guys. Have you been into, like, an actual barber shop recently?
No.
No,
okay.
I have not.
Yeah, I have, like, 2 weeks ago. My haircut takes 45 minutes to do.
Boy.
Why?
Yeah, well, trust me. No, I don't ask for the 45-minute treatment. I just show up and say, hey, man, you know what we did last time? Can you do that again?
Do they get paid by the hour?
No, it's one flat fee.
Huh.
My dude, like, he takes good care of me. If I'm in any way attractive to anybody, it's his fault, not mine.
Hey, so actually, I had a similar experience. I was in the Philippines, and I was there for 6 weeks, and I was going to leave 3 days. So 3 days till I was gone at the end of my 6 weeks. I had not shaved or cut my hair the whole time I was there. Okay. But I brought a razor, you know, like the dog shears or whatever. So I could trim my beard up before I headed out. And, I plugged it into the wall and it fried the thing to pieces. I had neglected to take into consideration the change in voltage.
Yes.
So, I mean, it set a fire in the hotel.
Oh, Bursey.
Yeah, it was awkward. So anyway, I thought I need to take care of myself. So I go into this barbershop, hairdresser joint in the mall.
Yeah.
Because everything's in malls.
Yep.
And I was in there for an hour and 20 minutes. and the guy cut my hair, and he gave me like a straight blade razor. You know, spent some time on the back of my neck.
Yep.
Talked to me about a hair tonic, which I agreed to because I mean he really
he sold it.
Yeah, and then I was just as bold as I was earlier. He didn't promise that, but for some reason I thought, hey, all these Filipinos got lots of hair.
Why would there be false advertising in a Filipino mall?
Yeah, Ralphio's hair elixir, is that what you thought he was selling you?
He massaged it in. That was all right.
Gross.
He talked to me about...
Never say that phrase again.
That's very similar to the caboose.
That's more descriptive. So, but anyway, it was... Now, here's the thing. That couldn't have felt more awkward.
Yeah.
Sitting in that chair for an hour, 20 minutes with some of the guy... paying attention to my noggin.
Do you tip hair people in the Philippines?
I did.
Yeah. I mean, we do here, but I just didn't know.
That's one thing. I didn't know the cultural stuff. And they said you got to be careful if you over tip, that's offensive. So I was trying to gauge.
No problem.
Don't want to be offensive here.
Here's 50 pesos.
I went with the, what would be enough for you to be like, I wish you wouldn't have bothered. So I thought, well, maybe that's a non-offensive amount.
So that's it's offensive the other way.
That's what I went with.
You didn't make it in the Goldilocks zone.
Yeah. And it was after he'd already taken the straight razor to my face, so I thought, well...
Right, you got to wait until the end, because you don't want to offend the guy that's about to take a razor to your neck.
Yeah, you don't undertip the barber of Seville, man.
Yeah, like, the dude does all the hair, tapering, is what he calls it.
Yeah.
Then takes care of the neck, and he'll trim up the beard, and he'll line it up and all the good stuff. It takes 45 minutes to an hour.
Can you see the look of bewilderment on my face?
Yeah, but Mike Foos, let's say, when was the last time someone complimented you on your hair?
Never.
Yeah. You have one of those vacuum things.
I'm not saying that's what I live for, but that happens to me.
Hey, I like, Boo, hey, I like the filter in your mind that says,
that intentionally,
I'm not sure this will
happened.
Be pompous. It very well is.
I mean, here's the deal. Anything over 15 minutes, I just assume you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, why is this taking longer than 15 minutes?
It's way past precision for you. It's just like, you should have been able to do this
you're
minutes
making,
ago.
Yeah, there's nothing, and Herrick nails me on this all the time, but there's nothing that drives me more crazy than false genuity. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, like, anything at past 15 minutes, I think you're just making a show of it. You know what I'm saying? The clippers come out, the scissors come out, the comb shows up. I apologize because I'm going to put my hat back on. I'm out the door in 15, 20 minutes. Done deal.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the number for my barber.
Yeah, I'm going to show up. Hey, Troy, sit me.
Do it.
Give me the 45.
Yeah, I have what's called the natural taper, meaning the Lord is slowly taking my hair from this arena. Where Troy has to artificial what the Lord's given me. I just feel blessed.
Here's the deal. We're going to go to a barber together. I'm going to document all the social awkwardness of you sitting in a chair for 45 minutes while a man pays a lot of attention to this top of your head.
All right? Sweet Moses.
I'm going to pay for this experience.
I get irritated when the gas station clerk looks me in the face. No. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Why don't you just mind the cash register? That's your business.
I'm going to videotape this whole thing. Your facial reactions to everything. When he goes, well, do you want the taper from the mid here? And you want that, like, what do you think about a gentleman's cut? Like, I want to see your face when he says gentleman's cut to you. And you go, you immediately go, there ain't no way this is going to be gentleman.
This might be worth taping, actually, because the whole time I'm like, hey, you're the barber. You want to... I don't.
Yes.
I don't tell you how to do your job.
Yeah, I'm setting up the appointment. This is great. This is gonna happen.
I could only do it in a foreign country. Like I had to go halfway around the world to get comfortable with some other guy doing that, only because no one could see it, and I feel like I could chalk it up to an otherworldly experience. It's like an apocalypse.
It happens here, man.
What? No.
It happens here.
No, it doesn't. You know, actually, it's you know what's weird is you might you might meet 20 guys in a day and. Six of those guys might go to a barber and get that type of treatment. Now you have to think about what goes on.
Every day you meet me.
Behind closed curtains.
Well, I'm one of six.
See, here's actually one of the things I struggle with is sometimes I will meet a man like Buva who I can tell gets his hair professionally done. And I've notched him down before I even talk to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I will meet a man and I'm like, why does your hair look so nice? There's no reason for this. Unfair assumption on my end. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think that actually took work. Like, you rolled out of bed, and you thought, I have to do something with this. And instead, like, most of the dudes I hang out with, they roll out of bed and be like, I have to leave now.
Here's
the
deal.
They just get in the vehicle and go.
In the last year, I've had to convince myself multiple times, is this worth it? Like, and I mean that sincerely, because, and I know, because of the fact that, like, when I wake up, I have to allot, like, a minute or two. Like, it doesn't take me a long time. I just have to allot a minute or two to, like, do my hair. That has never been in my life. For years, my hair regimen was, I'm going to grow it out until somebody says, really? And then I'm going to shave it bald, and then people are going to go, ugh. Like, that is my life. Don't, from ugh to really, six-month increments, okay?
Don't misunderstand my laugh. What my laugh was for is because immediately afterwards, I thought you look in the mirror and going, yeah, you worth it.
Oh, I do. I look at me like, worth it. Hey there, Booba. There's a whole handsome situation going on right now.
You're worth it twice over.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I got lost in my eyes. What were you saying? No, I have to decide, like, do I have enough time to do this? And if I will gauge my day, like, the things I have to do during the day and figure out if I need to do my hair or not. Like, I'm just like, well, who am I going to see? Where am I going to go? Am I going to the gas station and come back home? Nah, I ain't going to do that. I'm going to throw a hat on.
It's a hair day.
am I going to the gas station and then, you know, the Gordmans? And I'm going to pick up myself a nice new pair of jeans? That might be worth it. That might be a situation.
You do your hair so that you can see yourself with your new pair of jeans and your hair on?
Yeah, I need to see the whole outfit. Hair included.
That's
not actually true.
I just can't get rid of this before the look on my face. I don't understand.
I love it. I think it's great. This is exactly why. No, and if I hadn't gotten like compliments, I guess, but like people saying, "Hey, you look generally nicer." Not like, "Hey, you're super sexy man now." It's just generally like, "Hey, man, you don't look so much like a caveman any longer." Hey, thanks. That's worth it for me.
Here's the deal. Last time I got compliments on anything. I mean, anything in life. My wife bought me a sweater. It was a woman's sweater. You know what I'm saying? This was a lady's sweater. She swears up and down it's a man's sweater. It ain't. It's a lady's sweater. It's got a big old hoop by the neck or whatever. I mean, it belongs to a woman. I put this stupid thing on. She bought it. I said, I'm not wearing that. That's a woman's shirt. She says, please wear it. It's important to me. I'm like, why is this important to you for me to wear ladies' clothing? It doesn't make any sense. So I put this thing on. Everyone's like, boy, you look nice. You look refined. You don't look like the big doofus you normally are, right?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Do I really trust people that think I look good in ladies' clothes?
Ooh, good point.
This is what I've done, right? I've put on a woman's shirt. I think it was actually bought in the men's section, but that had been a confusion with the distributor. I mean, this was a woman's shirt. Definitely.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a ladies' clothes. Yeah.
I mean, I think
I know that sweater, and I'm pretty sure it's ladies' clothes.
Here's the thing. The guy, I ran into a guy at work the next day, had this woman's sweater on. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is exactly what I would expect for this man to wear. He also went to a barber. This is everything I needed to know about this man.
This is not a woman's sweater. There's not women's.
I've changed my hair. Does it please you?
Here's the thing. Just because it produces compliments does not mean it is the best route in life to take.
So, true. You're also a married man with kids.
That's true.
You are out of the compliments game. You don't have to worry about being complimented ever again.
I have nothing to lose.
I'm still in that place where, like, hey...
Actually,
I don't look like a bridge troll all the time.
There's nothing more dangerous than a married man who loves his wife and kids. You know what I'm saying? Good luck getting that guy to do anything.
I don't have to impress you. I got my lady and my kids.
We got an important business meeting. I don't give a crap.
Yeah, are you more important to me than my wife and kids that I get to go home tonight? Nope, then I don't give a crap.
You need
to
shave. For what?
My wife is fine with this. I have no need to impress you.
You know, as long as my wife says, yeah, you look good, you can come back home after work, I'm solid.
You're welcome in the home again.
I don't care what you say.
No man or woman outside of that household you need to impress. That's fair. Yeah. I'm not there yet.
I love my wife.
Booba still has to be like, hey, how you doing? Are you pleased with me?
Exactly. Yeah, I still have to live in that world where social contracts exist, where I have to go, hey, I rolled out of bed this morning and decided to care what you were looking at.
Do you enjoy taking me in?
How do you feel about me?
I went from eyesore to, well, I guess.
You know what? This has completely changed my attitude on the stinky guy in the office. I'm like, heck yeah. You have more freedom than any other man here.
Body odor man is just like, man, that guy's living his life.
I see a guy with a tailored suit. I'm like, you poor sucker.
That's true.
I see the guy with his pants pulled up to his nipples, and I'm like, you've got life figured out.
Yeah.
Someday I will be that man.
Yeah.
I'll be like, pants over belly button.
That's right.
Like, my sweetums loves it.
You're going to need to do something about that beard, sir. The Lord says it's enough.
Yeah. It's enough.
Who are you to say any different?
Jesus had a beard. Get off my face.
I love this new look of life.
Now Mike starts passing the guy who's always got the sweatpants on, and he just walks by and is like, here's to you.
We got a business meeting. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
There's like a corner of dudes that you could tell they don't give a crap about expectations. Yeah. It's just like, oh, you're one of them now.
Yeah. Here's your options. I'm either going to wear these sweatpants into the meeting, or you're going to disinvite me. I don't see any other choices here.
Yeah, if you
until this is a work obligation, you leave it alone.
If you choose option C, you better start robbing my house. Otherwise, this is going to feel out of place.
All right.
Mike, you got any deer life in the back?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple.
Okay.
Hang on. Ready?
Hey, by the way, the seal is the Judas, or is the Pontius Pilate.
Like, is it Kiss from a Rose seal?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Seal Klum. He's a...
I didn't know he had a last name.
Yeah, he married Heidi Klum.
He took her name?
That's what I would do, yeah.
I suppose that's true. That is a sweet name.
That's true. When you go by a one-name moniker, I feel like you have no choice but to accept any available last name.
If I ever marry Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm not going to stay Boova. It'll be Troy Paltrow.
Yeah, I will be Boova Paltrow.
What are you going to say with that weird accent that Mike just did? Like, it's Paltrow. Yes, I'll be Boova Paltrow.
Hey, man, it's the same thing I did with the Monte Cristo.
Yes, I like the taper cut.
Can you get me to gentleman's cut?
It helps when I cut the cocaine. Keeps it away from my cutters.
There you go. Dead Life from the Path. 9 years ago, I married a man who has a son from a previous marriage. Quotations Eli is now 26 and lives, quotations, on his own. While he may live under a different roof than his parents, they support him financially. My husband and I pay Eli's car insurance, cell phone bill, toll tag, life insurance policy, and whatever other things come up. Here's the deal. If my old man said, hey, I'd like to pay for your life insurance policy, I say, what are you planning?
Yeah, exactly.
Stay away from me, old man.
When's the planned car accident, Pops?
Here we go. And whatever other things come up. Passport, gym membership, blah, 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 blah. Eli's mom assists with all his utility bills.
Passport?
In addition to depositing money in his account monthly. They even turned over Eli's 529 tuition account to him. I've tried explaining to my husband that they are enabling Eli, and the umbilical cord should have been cut years ago. Eli has never earned more than $12,000 a year, and he has no desire to try because he has an endless flow of financial support. His dad is retired but continues to work in order to help Eli, although he won't admit it. This is straining our relationship because when I bring up this issue, he feels I am attacking his son. Am I unrealistic to expect an adult to support himself?
You're not unrealistic, but you also have a completely separate issue in terms of your husband just wanting to work a lot.
You think this is all a ruse?
No, I don't think it's a ruse. I think there are two issues going on, and the bigger one for her is just the absence of her husband, who he should be retired, but he's still going off to work. And that's something that she's got to work out with the husband. On the other hand, 26-year-old should be able to get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're all on board with the fact the 26-year-old needs to get a job. That's ridiculous. But I think that, like, I'm just interested by the husband's reaction because, like, so they're married, right? Like, that was the beginning of that. They've been married for 9 years? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mike? Okay. So she's bringing a financial thing to her husband in the marriage that they've been in for almost a decade, and he's completely just sloughing it off and going, no, you don't know my finances. This is my son. You know, this is something I'm going to keep doing, and I don't care what you say. Like, that's a problem in and of itself, too. Like, they're married and have been for a decade. They should be able to have financial conversations without him just going, oh, you don't know. Stop putting strain on my husband or my son. You don't know why I'm doing this. Just leave it alone.
She did phrase it, won't cut the umbilical cord. Like, that's a loaded thing to say. Whether it's true or not is irrelevant.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to approach a conversation, I feel like you're kind of putting the heavy on it.
Okay. I think one of the hardest things to do as a parent is to watch your child fail. And that's why a lot of parents will stop their child from failing. And it's like the worst thing they can do for their child. You know, a child, you need to be able to fail. We need to fail in life in order to, when you learn to walk, you fail, you fall, you get up and you go again. And that gets more complicated as you get older. It's, you know, relationships, jobs, poor choices, whatever. I mean, parents got to allow their child to fail. If this 26-year-old child was allowed to get a little hungry, at some point he'd go, you know, I need to get a job. You know, I need to do something. I need to make some changes. Whatever that changes, maybe he needs education. Maybe we don't know his situation. But they're definitely too helpful, I would say. and they need to back off.
Dan says, back it off.
Yeah, I think actually some of this is done just out of lack of having a direction for your kid, right? Like, you know, you don't why you even had kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't know what eventually the type of human you would like to produce when they leave your house, you'll do nothing to facilitate that goal, right? Like, if watching them struggle a little bit will help produce what you already have in your mind of a self, a kid that can handle himself, support himself, and be a productive member of society. If the, let's say these are your goals when you have children, it's easier to watch them fail knowing that it will produce that outcome, right? But like if you produced a kid and you said, I just want someone to depend on me, well, that equals one that's 26 years old and still borrowing your car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like and it sounds so stupid like to say, like, here's what I want my kid to be. Because like if you asked me that question, I would say, I want my kid to be what God created him to be. So, actually, I know what my goal is, right? My goal is to get my kids to follow Jesus Christ, to know who he is and follow him around. Now, you put that in more secular terms. You say, look, I want a kid to be successful in business or take care of themselves or produce, be a good mother, a good father or whatever. Like, you do things to facilitate that goal. And it just appears like they haven't either gone through that process of, you know, of what they wanted to do, what they were trying to accomplish in raising kids, or frankly, they just need someone to need them, and so they're just going to continue to support them. Either way, it's obviously not to the benefit of 26-year-old man. Let's see. Secular says, her question was, am I unrealistic to expect an adult to support himself? Secular says, not at all. You are being rational. Your husband and his ex may be fostering their son's cycle of financial dependence out of a sense of guilt, possibly because of their divorce. It may take counseling in order for him to understand that he and his ex are doing Eli no favors. Suggested as part of your marriage counseling to ease the strain on your marriage. Yeah, I don't know. That could be right. Who's to say? Not me. Not me, Booba. Dear Life from the Path, I'm in the process of downsizing. I have two black graduation gowns and caps in excellent condition.
Why do you have two?
What?
I think there's a good story to follow.
The start of a Craigslist ad?
That'd be genius, actually.
I wore them proudly as an adult college student not long ago and hate the thought of them being thrown in a landfill or used as Halloween costumes. Oh, yeah. There must be schools where some students have financial hardship and can't afford to buy their graduation gowns. However, I don't know of any organizations in my area that have gown reuse program. Perhaps your loyal readers will have ideas? Hey, listen, you are the laziest person I've ever met.
Seriously, you will write a letter to get an answer on this, but won't spend 10 minutes Googling?
I mean,
and getting a quicker response?
I'm sure it's even less than 10 seconds Googling. It's
yeah, we have a separate set of advice for you, person.
I mean,
change your ways.
You'd hate to see it used as a Halloween costume. Why?
Why? That's awesome.
Like, it will degrade the fact that you graduated from there?
Well, I don't think they're trying to say that. I think they're trying to say more, I would like it to go to someone who can have pride in it for what they're doing. But
it's a legit
but doesn't
college
have the resources.
Graduation
which is, which
gown,
is a better
whatever,
thing than I'm super excited yeah. about this all black gown that no one will ever be able to recognize other than on me, you know, and it shows my triumph. I think they're trying to say, hey, you know, I think that there might be a place where this can be better used and help somebody who doesn't have the
it's
ability.
Spend $80 on this.
You have way too much sentimental value
yeah,
in something.
Right.
That is...
I was great in this. Perhaps someone else will benefit because I was great in it.
I sent a picture with the person who bought it of me wearing it saying, this is how you should wear it.
Yeah, a rational person looks at that cap and gown 5 minutes after you threw the hat up and says, I was scammed. This was $80.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then throws it away in disgust.
Or says, at the very least, I hope some kid can make a good costume out of
yeah, exactly.
it.
Yeah. Some
I
dude's going
to
look real
back.
Sweet at Halloween this year.
Wait, you returned yours, Andrew?
Well, because I, well, rented it would be.
Yeah, that's see, that's the happened. Smart way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. So hang it up back. Next to your bridesmaid gown and just, you know, figure out no one's going to use it.
Yeah. Stop staring at this like it's a sentimental thing. Change your ways because you could have Googled something in 5 seconds and had an answer.
Who writes to the newspaper? That's ridiculous. She can't have any friends.
Find a Goodwill.
Right. Yeah. What did you can guys... walk up to a neighbor and ask that. Just be like, hey, other human being, can you by chance give me some advice? I'm currently thinking about writing a letter about this.
Yeah, think of your life circumstances for you to have not have Googled this. You don't work. Like at a place that provides internet. So maybe you set Linotype somewhere. Okay. You have no family. You have no friends.
you have nothing at your house that would make you think, hey, perhaps the internet can solve this problem.
And that's per someone with two college educations.
Yeah. No doubt. That's the scariest part. Yeah. This person has been educated multiple times and hasn't figured out, hey, man, you remember that magical box that sits in the corner of my room? It's a pretty sweet deal. I Facebook on it all day, but I really wish I had access to information.
Or you don't have a phone. Or someone to call.
Or a window. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, Paul! What'd you do with your cap and gown?
Neighborhood shout style.
Well, I threw it away. Well, by Jove!
I'm currently doing that. Thanks for the advice. Hey,
I like the cut of your jib, Paul. I'm going to throw mine away.
Cut of your jib. Could you just drive to the school and say, here, does anybody need this?
Wait a minute. Drop it off like a wounded gunman? Check it out the window and speed away?
Go to the counselor's office.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Do you guys, for your graduating class, do you guys have anyone who may want this as like a financial thing they don't have to worry about anymore? Give it to them.
Yeah, she's pretty much, because like, especially if they're colors, like maybe they're school colors or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you could go to the school you graduated from and say, hey, does anybody want this? As opposed to saying, dear newspaper person, would you call my school and see if they'll take this gown?
Hey, non-scary entity of communication, can you talk to the creepy people at my school for me?
Can you put this in perspective, though? Like, this is what we're fighting when we're trying to build biblical community. When a man would go to such lengths to not, all he had to do was go to the school and say, hey, is there someone that could use this?
Yes.
Or put an ad in the paper that says, hey, I have this. I'll give it to you. Just let me know if you need it. You will go to any lengths not to interact with anybody to blandly write a letter to say, can anyone help me figure out how to deal with other people?
And don't answer me directly. Just respond to the whole world.
there is no salesmanship needed for this situation. Yeah, you don't have to have any skills. You can just go, all right, it's free.
Yes.
My advice to this gal is please do not vote in the upcoming presidential election.
I mean, this is the exact same person that would say, look, I ordered an egg salad sandwich. They gave me a chicken salad. Then they figured it out and gave me the egg salad too. I have two sandwiches. Any advice for me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like this. Like, can you think of any other.
Both of these sandwiches.
Put it on Craigslist. See if anyone wants it.
Can anyone help me? Think of any other items that could be in the same category. Like one-time used birthday candles. You know what I'm saying? Things that were paid for, used for like 5 seconds, and be like, well, what do I do now? This guy puts them in a box, keeps them around for 10 years, and goes, man, I feel like someone could really get a use out of this birthday candle. Just throw it away, dude.
Just throw it away.
Give it up. Here we go.
Secular's advice is.
It's going to be great.
Let's see. The question was, perhaps your loyal readers will have ideas? Question mark. Secular says, I'm sure they will, but in the meantime, may I offer a couple of suggestions? Contact the administration at the high schools or community colleges in your area and ask if they could use the gowns. Or contact a local community theater group and volunteer to donate them to their costume department.
Do you think, now, based upon what we know about this person, do you feel like that would be a worthy cause? Because what makes that substantially better than the kid wearing it for Halloween? He's also doing it for free.
Yeah.
I feel like the local community group could make the cardboard hat with a tassel on it and a tablecloth with a hole in it for like $10. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't imagine them wanting for it.
Right. Hey, we want to put on this production, but we don't have a hat. I sure hope one turns up.
Yeah.
We should reach out to the community.
Does anyone have this?
Write the paper.
This is terrible.
Secular, do you by chance have any of your listeners that may have any?
An extra cap and gown?
Boy, do I have the article for you.
You know what?
Missed connection.
Looking for cap and gown. Looking for sentimental person that doesn't have the ability to Google anything, who has something they want to give away but can't quite reach out.
Right. This is the same person that bought the cap and gown twice. I feel like
why did he just use the first one?
It was black both times.
After figuring out the ruse in high school, I'd be like, you know what? I already have one. I'm just going to wear it.
Yeah, I'm
just going to wear this one. What are you going to do? Kick me out of college? I'm graduating.
There's going to be 800 of us. No one is going to know that mine's a different shade of black.
This is what happens when you try to stamp out people to all be the same character through our public school system, right? A logical thinking man goes, I already have one. I'm not buying another one. I'm graduating from here. I don't care.
That's the test of if they should get their diploma or not.
That's right.
Yeah. It'll be the same color as your high school one, but you'll need to purchase a new one to come here. The person that gets the diploma goes, No!
Give me the piece of paper.
The person that goes, oh yeah, I can do that. Here's my debit card. They go, unfortunately, you got to go for 4 more years.
Yeah. I can rent a microphone for $20 and stand in a field, call my own name, celebrate myself, and go home.
Yeah. John Boover III. Oh yeah, me.
I can't believe another you guys showed up.
Luckily, Mom, Dad, I'm so happy you're here.
Luckily, I just got my haircut.
Luckily, my taper's where it needs to be.
You know what?
I gotta get rid of this gown so you can see this whole thing.
Cool. Throw up this cap.
You're listening live from the Path. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We very much appreciate you defending yourself in the buff. You can check out past clips from the show. Sign up for the podcast at livefromthepath.org.
And security.
Yeah, I think that's all we got. Hey, we'll have the signs available. We're yes. like just like people buy the stickers that say "Home Protected by" whatever, even though they have home a false security system. That's what we're going to be. We can sell you the sticker.
A pixelated mic.
we'll be your buffer from trouble.
All right, be faithful to means. God will take care of the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.